full lit by the lantern's warm glow. I rise, and he pulls me firmly into an embrace, his lips finding mine. My hands fan out over his muscular chest, riding over the hard planes of him. He kisses me deeply as my fingers trace swirling lines of flame all over his skin that make him gasp. Vale pulls me back onto the bed, and I pull him on top of me, clutching at him as he presses his body against mine, our affinity lines pulsing hard, then merging to the same delicious rhythm. His tongue traces my collarbone as his fingers trail flame along my sides, my shoulders, my breasts. He pauses, his breathing erratic, and looks deeply into my eyes, as if he's making sure I'm all right. In answer, I slide my hands over his hips and send fire through him. Vale shudders, eyes momentarily widening. Then he kisses me with fervent passion and peels off the rest of my clothing, layer by layer. I discover many things that Vale likes, his fire exploding when I touch him in certain ways, and he reads my affinity lines as well, like a book splayed open. I quickly surmise that he likes to be touched, light and teasing, just behind his ear, the palm of his hand, the backs of his thighs. And he rapidly figures out that I like his tongue in my mouth, and his fingers tracing heat down my spine. His muscles tense rock hard, and his affinity fire spikes with the strength of a fanned smith forge as I lightly trace the skin along the top of his pants and clumsily unfasten his belt. He pushes his remaining clothing off and kisses me deep and hard, his fire searing through me as we move against each other with a new feverish urgency. We take each other once, then again deeper in the night in a wild torrent of flame. By the time the pale light of dawn streaks through the window, the two of us are a mess of tangled limbs, our affinity lines finally dampened to a mellow glow. I awaken encircled by Vale's warm embrace. Reluctant to wake him, I gently slide out from under his draping arm and sit up. I have a sheet wrapped discreetly around myself, but Vale is lying across the bed, stomach down, scandalously naked. I take in his long form, sprawled out like a contented cat, his face calm in sleep. He's beautiful, and I drink him in for a long moment. As I rise, his hand snaps out to playfully grab at my sheet. Shocked, I turn back to him, and he opens his eyes to peer at me with wicked mischief. His fire flares hot again and snakes out to slide along my body, a long line of heat flowing under my sheet. I smack his hand away and he laughs, deep and throaty. "No," I tell him, adamant, but I can't help but grin. "I'm going to get food." It's still new to me, this playful side to him, and I delight in it. I tug away from him, but he won't release the sheet. His gaze turns serious and ardent.
"This was a good fasting, Tess,"
he says. "It was," I tell him softly.
"I love you."
He says it with rock-solid assurance, as if he's saying there is a moon or there is a sky. "I love you, too," I tell him, my heart bursting open. He reels me in and kisses me.
"Go,"
he finally relents, caressing my face. He reluctantly releases the sheet, his eyes raking over me.
"Before I take you again."
I laugh, and he smiles and looks down at his hand, briefly holding it up for my inspection. I look to my matching lines, dark swirling patterns that mirror his, and run down our hands and around both our wrists now, the lines thicker and more numerous than they were before. There's a smug, triumphant grin on Vale's face that I find amusing. "Do you think anyone else is awake yet?" I ask as I grab up the clothing that's scattered all over the floor.
"I doubt it,"
he says, looking me over, his fire coursing up and down my form.
"It's barely dawn."
I throw on my underthings and skirts as Vale brazenly watches me, then throw on one of his tunics instead of mine. They're easier to put on, no laces at the back. Then I turn and make my way to the kitchen. I reach the bottom of the stairs to find Beck cradling baby Gareth, sitting with Edwin and Fane at the kitchen table. Ray stands near the counter, eyeing me. They are all silent as stone, the gardenerians abashed and averting their eyes. Except for Fane. He grins at me with open glee, along with Ray. I realize, mortified, how loud Vale and I might have been throughout the night. Vale groaning, the bed creaking. "Hello, Fane," I say, my cheeks burning. He looks me over with bold mischief.
"Well, don't you look fetching in Vale's clothes?"
He gets up in one graceful swoop and comes to me, takes my hands in his, and smiles. He glances down at my fast marks and grows briefly serious.
"Sweet Tesla,"
he says, eyes glassing over as he squeezes my hands.
"I wish you so much happiness."
Tears sting my eyes, a tight knot in my throat. "Thank you, Fane, and thank you for helping my brother and my grandfather." Fane releases my hands, throws his arms around me, and kisses my head.
"You've a lovely family. There's no need for thanks."
Footsteps sound on the staircase, and everyone looks up. Vale is there, blinking down over the assembled crowd. His hair is messier than I've ever seen it, an explosion of uneven spikes.
"Oh, good," Vale says. "The whole of Valgard is, in fact, here."
He comes down the stairs, strides over to me, and slides his hand around my waist, a line of his fire coursing straight up my spine.
"Would you like some tea?"
he asks me, his fire whipping around me in caressing tendrils, hot and strong.
"Hungry. And not for food."
I gawk at him for a brief moment, stunned by his voracious appetite for this. "Why, yes, Vale," I say with exaggerated formality. "I would love some tea." Ray breaks out into multi-toned laughter, her gills fanning out. Gareth mimics her laugh and blows out a raspberry. Vale hands me a mug, and I sip at it, blushing furiously, but overcome with happiness. Who would have ever guessed that I'd want this? With him. Vale raises my hand to his lips and kisses the back of it, affection running hot in his gaze. I've accidentally, unexpectedly, been given the perfect fasting. I can feel Vale's love for me flowing right through the fast lines. Epilogue.
"Mages,"
the Black Witch intones over the sea of Gardenerians, her eyes blazing with fierce pride.
"We come together today to celebrate the wand fasting and sealing of my son, Vale Gardener, to Mage Tesla Harrow."
She sweeps her arm toward Vale and me, and a protective wall of her great fire affinity swoops toward us in a powerful torrent. The crowded Valgard Cathedral erupts into applause and cheers, everyone springing to their feet in a booming rush. Fane's up front with two fingers curled into his mouth, whistling loudly, an impish light in his eyes. Vale's hand is tight around mine, our fires hot and merged, whipping around our arms in a unified coil. We stand on the cathedral's dais and face the crowd, then briefly meet each other's eyes with countless unspoken words and an edge of newfound worry. 8 months have passed since Vale and I first met, and the Black Witch is back from the front lines. Gardenaria is now the greatest power in the Western Realm, and 10 times its original size, refugees of other races streaming away from our new borders. Mages have moved in to seize the surrendered land and begin their new lives, and new Gardenarian military bases are rapidly being established. It's a formality, this sealing ceremony, but one Vale's mother insisted on, to the great delight of all Gardenarians. It's overwhelmed Vale and me, how rapidly this formal refasting and sealing of the Black Witch's son has turned into a countrywide celebration. Ren beams at us from the front row where he stands next to Grandfather. He claps with happy enthusiasm, his eyes momentarily locked onto Vale's with deep affection. He's taken a wild shine to my fastmate, and Vale's become his teacher in wand work and sword fighting. My brother wand-tested at level 3, and his power is rising, the lessons in self-defense, slowly chipping away at his night terrors and residual trauma. He's a different boy now, my brother. Completely healed and filled out, and a good inch taller with access to so much rich food. When he finally looks to me, his grin is wide and warm as the sun. I bask in it, my affinity flaring out to embrace him. I smile at Vale, tears stinging at my eyes as the applause washes over us, and Vale's hand tightens around my own. Grandfather is sobbing and praying, making the sign of blessing again and again over his chest as he leans heavily on his cane. He throws a kiss toward me, and I throw one kiss back to renewed applause. I train my eyes on the front of the cathedral where Vale's sister, Vivian, stands next to Grandfather, grief etched hard on her face. Compassion for Vale's harsh sister twists inside me. I smile at her, but Vivian frowns and turns her head sharply away from me. It stings, her continued rejection of Lower River me. But still, I never would have wanted such misery to be visited upon her. She has a wide red armband around her left arm, a symbol of mourning for her beloved fastmate, who was cut down by Uruk soldiers only weeks ago, just before our forces moved in and scorched the remaining Uruk lands. Fane is beside Vivian, one arm tight around her shoulders, and she slumps into him, uncharacteristically worn and haggard. I scan the room as the applause dies down. Everyone takes their seats, and the priest rises to intone a welcome prayer. Bet Keeler sits with his family three rows back. Catching my eye, he briefly lifts his hand in greeting and attempts a wan smile, an ever-present sadness now in his eyes. Margaret, his fastmate, is by his side and cradling baby Gareth. The tips of the child's hair glint silver in the rays of sunlight that stream down into the cathedral through the stained glass windows. Margaret is a plain, round-cheeked young woman, her expression stoic and gravely determined. Her three-year-old daughter stands on the bench beside her, with a worried frown as she clutches at her mother's arm. Ray, the Selkie, is gone. Her skin was found over a month ago by a cabin boy Beck had been kind to, freeing Ray to go back to the sea. She and Beck were devastated to part, but they knew what her discovery would mean for baby Gareth. In the end, it could no longer be denied that the safest course of action would be to raise Gareth as a Gardnerian. Margaret was initially devastated as well, shocked to hear of her fastmate's affair, and with a Selkie no less. She spent many a tear-soaked night at our cottage, raging against her fasting to Beck at such a young age and his cruel infidelity. But in the end, Margaret's great kindness won out, and her compassion for this baby who was caught in the middle, just like her. Her growing affection for baby Gareth eventually overshadowed her grief and anger, and rapidly morphed into a fiercely protective bond. The cathedral quiets as Edwin Gardner walks up the side aisle, violin in hand, and joins us on the dais. He offers me a small, heartfelt smile, warmth in his deep green eyes.
My congratulations to my brother Vale.
His voice wavers with nerves and emotion.
And to his beloved fastmate Tesla.
He lifts violin and bow and launches into my favorite piece, Winter's Dark. The sound of the massive crowd quiets to almost nothing, save the fidgeting of small children and the occasional cry of a baby. Edwin's melody gracefully winds around every column, and I remember the first time I heard him play this song. It feels like 100 years ago. I look over at Fane, who's listening to the music, his three sisters in a neat row on his left side. Lucretia gives me a brief, friendly smile. Fane follows his sister's glance and catches my eye. He casts me his sly, cat-like grin and throws out a tendril of cool water that I deftly meet, latch onto and warm up so hot that he has to quickly release it. His head bobs in a laugh, and I smile back at him with mischief. Fane teases Vale and me to no end about our hunger for each other. Vale is so clearly making up for last time, taking me away early from every event, pulling me into bedrooms, back rooms, closets, anywhere he can get his hands and his fire on me, the two of us burning through bottle after bottle of Sanjire root, which Fane generously continues to supply. Fane enjoys making full sport of us, his jokes scandalously off-color. He recently bought 3 more erotic books for us and left them on our bed with a cheeky note.
To my dear Vale, since you clearly know where to put it. If you and your lovely fastmate ever come up for air, you can peruse these for more ways to connect. As always, Fane.
I flush at the memory of this as my eyes wander away from Fane. My gaze lights on Rosebeth and Miles, who sit 2 rows back from Fane and his sisters. Miles's arm is wrapped protectively around my Lower River friend's shoulders. Their fasting has proven to be a good one so far. 2 good-natured people united in bliss. Rosebeth cries joyfully into her handkerchief and sends me a small smile. I force a returning smile and fight back against an edge of bitterness that's still raw within me, and the unpleasant thoughts that rise with it. She and Miles love me again, like so many do, now that I've been proven pure, now that I'm sealed to the son of the most powerful mage in Gardneria. I've no dearth of admirers and friends now. But things are forever altered for me. There are no clean lines anymore. No perfectly delineated sides. Vale's standing stiffly, his expression frozen in place, and I follow his gaze to a cloaked figure standing past the crowds at the very back of the cathedral. What's wrong? I ask him in a hushed whisper. His eyes glint with tears as he leans toward me.
Gods, Tess. It's Anna Lynn.
I try to keep my face impassive, though my heart swells for him. Anna Lynn, the Uriel woman who raised him. Coming here is a huge personal risk for her, as the women of all the Urisk castes are now indentured and forbidden from traveling freely. But I can tell that her presence means the world to Vale, that she's here to see the child she loves refasted and sealed. For the rest of the ceremony, Vale and I wear fake smiles and whisper to each other, putting on an affectionate show, as Vale quickly formulates a plan to bring Anna Lynn with us to Verpatia. We'll sneak her back there under the guise of being our personal servant until we're safely across the border. It's a sound plan, and I can feel some of the turbulence in Vale's fire smoothing out.
Please rise as we perform the sealing rites,
the priest intones with a beatific smile, his arms stretched wide to embrace the crowd. Vale and I take our places on either side of the small altar and clasp our hands tight over it, our eyes locked. Carnissa Gardner readies her wand. The priest opens the Book of the Ancients and reverently intones the long series of sealing prayers. He smiles as he finishes, and Vale's mother holds her wand over our hands. It's unnecessary, the repetition of the spell, purely for ceremony and show, but it suddenly strikes me that I'm here by my own free will this time. I'm here with my whole heart, full of a fierce love for the man who stands before me. The spell won't do anything. We've already had the lines placed and set and well consummated. But I hold tight to Vale as his mother murmurs first the fasting and then the sealing spell. Her tendrils of power curl around our hands, our wrists. I'm suddenly overcome by my love for Vale, love that's fully reflected in his ardent gaze as his fire blazes outward to merge with mine. Carnissa Gardner's magic pulls into our hands and wrists, and I gasp as a series of impossibly intricate swirls bursts into life, adding to the lines that are already there. My love for Vale and his love for me wrap around and through the spell and out into the lines in a visible rush. The lines glow red for a long moment, and a collective murmur of overjoyed surprise goes up in the vast space. I look to Vale in wonder, and he smiles. The Black Witch and the priests surrounding us all have tears glistening in their eyes as the crowd responds with thunderous applause.
I love you, Tesla,
Vale says with ragged feeling, his fire a warm caress all through me. I love you, too. I break into happy tears as he pulls me around the altar and brings his lips to mine. Cheers are shouted out over the applause. We kiss, and I bask in the feel of his lips, his body pressed to mine, everything around us momentarily fading into background.
"Sanguine in!"
Fane rakishly yells out, and Vale and I laugh at the same time, breaking the kiss. We look to Fane, who's grinning at us, tears streaking down his face, his arm still tight around Vivian. "All will be well," I tell Vale with fierce assurance, patting the wand that's safely ensconced in my stocking. "We'll be in Verpachia soon, where Anna Lynn will be safe." My gaze wordlessly comforts him. Some of the tight worry leaves his eyes. He nods and lets out a long breath. Then he smiles crookedly at me and leans in close.
"It seems we'll get another chance at a proper sealing night."
A laugh escapes me, and I shoot him a suggestive smile. Vale gives me a sardonic look.
"Maybe don't punch me this time."
I caress his back, sending up a trail of sparks in my wake.
"Don't worry," I whisper into his ear, my other hand tracing the now familiar planes of his chest. "That's not at all what I had in mind."
Vale laughs, pulls me firmly against him, and brings his lips to mine, our fires lashing around each other like the lines that mark us, sealed and tightly bound. Forever. This is Jesse Valinsky. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Wandfasted by Lori Forrest, presented by Harlequin Teen and Harper Audio. This program was produced by B Audio Limited. Executive producer Jennifer Lopes. Text copyright 2017 by Lori Forrest. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.